Hi everybody, welcome to Little Fish. This is our weekly audience fact show. We've done all of our facts. We've run out. And while we wait and think of some more, you've sent some in to podcast.qi.com. My name's Andrew Hunter-Murray. I'm here with James Harkin and Dan Schreiber. Let's get into it. Who's got an audience fact?
Shall I open with one?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is from Stephen Corcoran. And his fact is China defends its border partly with geese.
Okay, that's
so
good.
Yeah, so this is a pandemic thing. China's border with Vietnam, they were worried that people with COVID were going to come in through the border illegally. And so they hired a gaggle of geese, 500 of them, to stand guard and honk and bite at anyone who was coming through.
They have teeth.
Well, they've probably got a strong snack
on
there.
They've got a nasty nip on them, though.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Do,
yeah.
The Romans used guard geese.
Well, this is the thing, guard geese. They're apparently way more efficient than most animals that we would use, like a guard dog. Police often use them in their stations.
No.
They do.
No.
They do. There's been examples in Brazil where they have used them in place of dogs because they have incredible eyesight. They have incredible hearing. They're extraordinarily territorial. Therefore, if a stranger comes in, they immediately sound the alarm. Unlike a dog who might, you know, if you're a burglar and you come in with a big old steak and you throw the steak, they get distracted with it.
Right.
You know, the classic
way.
Yeah,
but what if you throw a golden egg or something that distracts a goose?
That's true. Well, that's the thing, because there's a question of how come then they don't sound the alarm if a police officer comes in? They say, well, they recognize the outfits and they see them
all
as similar.
All the police dress as geese.
Yeah. Yes. But that's the thing. If you're going to rob a police station, which is ballsy, anyway.
Yeah, they don't keep large amounts of cash in there normally.
No, but they do keep a lot of confiscated items that they've taken. So someone tried to break in to repossess their motorbike that was in there. So dress as a police officer, though, and you'll get past the geese.
Yeah, so can they recognize the police then?
That's
the
supposedly what they can
the geese
do.
Police. Have they ever been used in warfare? Geese.
Ooh, great question.
Good question. I imagine they have as guards.
We did a question on QI, which is what use is a goose for the G-Series? And I remember we talked about the guard geese and also that Rabelais said you could wipe your bum with a goose's neck.
Of course. Well, that's brilliant.
Okay, shall I do one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Jeff Kennedy. And Jeff says that in the 1896 Kentucky Derby horse race, the winner came in seventh place. Riddle me this.
Okay,
so it has to be a post-match six disqualifications for
six
whatever.
Deaths. Six horses died after the race.
Yeah, but you
still
win.
they don't take an Olympian's gold medal back if they've died years later.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone now. Who's remaining? You're now first.
Okay. Yeah.
The world's oldest lady, Jeanne Calment, actually had all of the Olympic medals from 1896 by the end.
Okay. Well, Dan suggested then disqualifications.
Yeah, there must have been on, you know, dope.
I'm afraid, dopes, you are wrong. The answer is the winner was the name of the horse.
The winner was the name?
He was called the winner.
Oh.
And he came seventh. Anyway, so I've read through every single competitor in every single Kentucky Derby since they began in the mid-19th century.
Wonderful.
The 17th place horse in the 2016 Kentucky Derby was Oscar nominated.
Is that the name?
Yep.
Okay, great.
The winner in 1999 was Charismatic. Sixth place in 1914 was Surprising. Surprising was the name of the horse. The ninth place horse in 2021 was Highly Motivated. And the fifth place
doesn't sound like it.
And the fifth place horse in 1971 was Unconscious. Wild Horses came last in the Kentucky Derby in 2002.
Amazing.
And once again came third in 1889. Once again is the name of the horse. Don't Get Mad was the name of the horse that came fourth in 2005.
Oh my God, you've invented your own Who's On First sketch, James.
I'm a wild and crazy guy. Came fourth in 2007.
James, this is your Palladium show. You have to tour the country with this. It's just a good like hour of comedy you've got there. Amazing.
Oh. That's it. That's my whole week. So when we do the show later, the actual show, I have no research.
I can't tell if this...
What race did that horse... Oh, that's stunning. All right. Shall I do one?
Yeah.
All right. This is a fact from Harry and Charlotte. A joint fact.
Cool.
Pretty cool.
Well, I think one of them will have taken the lead.
Probably.
And the other one's just going on a bit of a ride.
In fact, it begins with, my wife told me a fact.
There we go.
So here's the fact. What is almond extract made of?
Okay.
Is it almonds?
It's not almonds.
Is it Mark Almond from Soft Cell?
It's Mark Almond. Very, very little almond extract is made with actual almonds.
Is that true?
Okay. It's crazy. It's made of peaches.
Peaches?
Yep.
Oh, but they're members of the almond family, aren't they? Or is it the way around, almonds are part of the peach family?
Well, basically, there's a stone in a peach.
Yeah.
And inside that stone, there is a thing that looks like an almond. And apparently that's what they use to make almond extract rather than actual almonds, says Harry. I have some almond stuff in my home, and I looked at it, and it says bitter almond oil, the vast majority of which comes from peaches and other fruits that are not almonds.
But they have a bitter almond in it. A bit of almond.
Very good.
Should have quit on the horse races bit.
Yeah, basically, almonds all start as a fruit. And so the thing which we think of as an almond nut is the seed of it. But actually, all droop seeds, this droop family of fruits, which are flesh on the outside and then a single pit inside, which has a seed, all droop seeds contain this chemical, benzaldehyde, which is for almond extract.
Tastes like almonds.
Very cool. I discovered the other day that rather than having to dig out the stone of an avocado...
Oh, no.
You just push it from the other side.
Oh, right. Okay.
It just comes right out. No, you don't. You swallow it whole.
Well, no, there was a trend a while ago that you would hold the half of avocado in your palm.
Yeah.
And then you would get a big knife and you would sort of smack the big stone with the knife. And then the knife would embed into the stone. You twist it and pull it out.
Oh, right.
Pretty cool.
I think it was before TikTok, but it was an internet trend. But like people said, you shouldn't do it because people are going to A&E having missed the avocado.
Yeah, incredibly dangerous.
Andy,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
I mean, it would look pretty cool.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, it turns out it's really simple. You just pop it out.
Yeah, that's how I do it. Pop it out.
Never knew that. I've always been digging away like an archaeologist.
You guys are not eating bits of the avocado?
The stone,
yeah.
And the skin.
The yummiest bit.
Give that a miss usually. After like the skin, of course.
Well, if you never had it, it's like an everlasting middle-class gobstopper. You know, you just...
Right.
Do you know that story that there was like megafauna in South America that was eating the avocados and then pooing out the stones? And we know they must have existed because avocados existed and they must have been propagated somehow. And there was no humans to plant them. So we know that this megafauna existed.
Wow, so they were the farmers.
They were the farmers, yeah, essentially. But now we know that Andy's eating the stones and presumably pooing them out as well. You are the megafauna of the 21st century.
It's a struggle sometimes, but...
So when you're caught squatting in the park, you're just doing some farming.
Anyone got a goose?
Let's have another.
Okay, this is from Jennifer Rowley. She says, I recently listened to the Little Fish episode where you talked about the Henley on Todd regatta in Australia. So this is the one where it's dry it was called off because it rained and so it flooded. Yeah.
So it's like a dry river, isn't it?
It's a dry river.
Yeah. You run around in the bottom of it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And it got called off because of water, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me of another weather-related regatta fact that you might like. So the Canadian city of St. John's in Newfoundland and Labrador has a public holiday that only happens if the weather is nice. Regatta Day is the day of the Royal St. John's Regatta, which is scheduled for the first Wednesday in August. However, if the weather isn't good enough for rowing, then the regatta has to be postponed. And if it's postponed, the public holiday itself is cancelled. So this has led to a tradition called Regatta Roulette, where people stay out late partying the night before, gambling that they will have the next day off work.
That's funny.
Yeah, they love their regattas, by the way.
That's really good.
In Canada, there's the Windsor Pumpkin Regatta. That's where everyone hollows out a giant pumpkin.
We've spoken about that.
We have spoken about it.
Like 10 years ago, we spoke about it.
That's right.
It's very exciting.
Someone did the record largest pumpkin, I believe it was, that we spoke about. By the way, this is about a 200-year-old festival, this regatta. So as far as I can tell, COVID obviously knocked it out, but that doesn't really count because that knocked out everything. So 1940, it seems, to be the last time that they actually had to sort of lose the regatta roulette.
Because of the weather?
No, the war.
Oh, so does that mean since then it's always been sunny enough?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, wow. So apparently the roulette is not that risky.
Oh, I'd play roulette with those odds.
Yeah, exactly. Could be wrong.
Because like in the UK, if you have any holiday, it's guaranteed to be pissing it down.
That's yeah, just exactly. Yeah, that's the way it works. I found a really interesting regatta story about the Henley Regatta. Mm. Can I quickly tell it?
Yeah, why not?
Let's see if this works.
Sorry, can I just say, is this the Henley on Thames or Henley in Australia?
Henley on Thames in the UK. So there used to be a guy called John Brendan Kelly, and he applied to be part of the regatta. He was an American. And it's quite a posh event, the regatta. Yeah. And he wasn't allowed in, despite being a multimillionaire in America, because he was a bricklayer. It was seen as a labor job, and he was not allowed to compete in it.
Oh, yeah.
So this really infuriated him. And so he decided to enter the Olympics to row. And he won gold. In fact, he won it three times, the first person to win a triple gold.
And right? Was it all due to the pent-up anger?
He must have had a bit of fury to make a point to them. And so, you know, they were very apologetic and things changed for him. He was allowed to be part of...
Why? Rules is rules.
Well,
it's... Yeah, but you can bend the rules when you have a three-time Olympian.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's but... like Steve Redgrave's allowed to wear trainers in a Ritzy in Bolton.
So he was this bricklayer, even though he was rich. And then you had, you know, this kind of royal regatta, which felt quite posh. Anyway, he has a few kids. One of them is called Grace. Grace Kelly. Mm-hmm. Grace Kelly becomes an actress and then goes on to become Princess Grace of Monaco.
Okay.
So he is the father of Princess Grace.
Interesting.
And as a kind of way of saying sorry, if you now go to the regatta in Henley, there is a Princess Grace Challenge Cup as a way of apologizing. So he went from being not allowed to compete to now having his daughter be the name of one of the regatta.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Shove that in your boats.
Shove that in your boats.
Okay, here is a fact from Pav. And Pav wanted to share a fun UK tax fact.
Ooh,
great.
And as a former accountant, I think, Andy, you thought I might be interested in this. Pav writes that the 1982 case of Meyerleur versus Drummond established that while barristers are allowed to claim costs of wigs and collars, they cannot claim the cost of purchasing or cleaning suits as they fail the wholly and exclusively test. Because they have the dual purpose of providing warmth and decency. So in, like, if let's say you have an expense, you can only claim it as an expense if it's just for your job.
Right. Yeah.
So if it's for something else as well, if you're going on holiday and you're like, oh, I'm going to do a TikTok video while I'm on holiday, you can't claim that because you're also on holiday.
What?
Oh, dear.
Like, okay, like, good joke, James, but it's fine, right?
Like, for instance, to pull another idea out of the hat, if you were to have a hair transplant, you can't claim it, even if you're in a front-facing podcast.
Are you kidding me?
Videoed, you can't claim it because it's also, you need that hair in real life to keep your head warm as well.
Right. And provide decency. But if I was to... But my special podcasting hat that I wear every time that you guys are looking at now.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you, as long as you don't wear that when you're out clubbing.
How could I wear this out clubbing, James? This is a ridiculous hat.
Maybe if you win 3 gold medals at the Olympics, they might let you.
But like, this hat is so stupid that obviously it's only for podcasting. And it's,
Yeah.
And it's like, I would say like the racist element as well probably is why you wouldn't wear it outside.
Yeah. Right. It does feel awkward every time we make the pod that we have to look at that. Yeah.
Well, we should make podcasting great again. So carry on.
There is no hat. People at home. In 2018, there was a case called Gemma versus HMRC, where an exotic dancer successfully argued that the cost of her outfits and shoes should be allowable because they provide neither warmth nor decency.
That's great.
It's a great fact.
It's really
it?
Good.
Really good fact.
Yeah.
Quite often, the tax offices, they tell you about claims that people have tried to make and whether they're allowed or not. So what do you think about Botox? Because you might say, well, you know, I'm on TV and I wouldn't have had Botox if I wasn't on TV. So it is because of that. But in actual fact, you get an advantage in your home life as well.
What about I'm a living statue and I've had full body Botox to allow me to do my work every day? You know what I'm saying?
I suppose like if it has no advantage in your day-to-day life at all, which I can't imagine it would.
Not at all. I've given myself full body freezing.
Yeah,
just to do my work.
You're aware that that's not exactly how they work.
What, living statues?
Yeah. Sometimes they just paint themselves silver.
Yeah, but those guys are hacks. No, the really good ones, you know. There's a guy just outside the Houses of Parliament dressed as Oliver Cromwell, who's unbelievable. Every day I've gone past him for years.
Pigeons like shitting on him.
Pigeons shitting on him. I don't know how he got up on that pedestal. He's bloody good.
I wonder if any living statues got thrown into the rivers during that whole period.
Guys,
I'm a living statue of Colston, guys.
Okay, I got another one here. This is from Dan Paul Heskins, who says, my fact is that the lifestyle guru Martha Stewart says that when guests have overstayed their welcome, she tells them, I'm going to bed, I'll see you. If clueless guests stick around after that, Martha tells them, well, just turn off the lights and don't set off the fire alarm. Now, this doesn't read as true to me. I feel like Martha Stewart is someone who embellishes stories and just...
Are you saying you've investigated this, Dan? Have you disproved it?
No, I just don't know. I looked in to see just what other things that she said quite randomly, anecdotally, to see whether or not it's true. So I'll give you my findings. One is that she claims to have been struck by lightning 3 times.
Okay.
Which she said in an interview. She said, once it came out of my water faucet, I was leaning against it.
We know that that's not true. That's
like a government assassination attempt or something.
It is different. Says, yeah, I was leaning against an iron sink. I saw the lightning go down the pipe out in my garden, and then it came back through the water and hit me right in the stomach, threw me on the floor, and my husband found me. I was alive, but not very comfortable.
Okay.
So that was one. She says that one came through the skylight in her house, and then she didn't mention in that interview the third time, but in an interview and chat with Snoop Dogg in 2016, she said another time it was while she was on the phone.
Wow, okay. Well, yeah. She's clearly pitching for the Would I Lie to You gig.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the Dan Schreiber memorial anecdotes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She also, as we know, went to jail. That's kind of what she's very famous for in the States. She served time.
It's not what she's famous for.
She's very famous for going to jail. I think that's a defining moment of her career.
She wouldn't have been famous for going to jail unless she'd already been famous for something true.
Else. Yeah, she's famous.
The headline would just be Random Lady Goes to Jail.
No,
whereas it's
she was a famous person who went to jail, which amplified her fame globally, I would say. And she went to jail because she was charged with 4 counts of obstruction of justice and lying to investigators about insider trading. So she served her time, she did home arrest and so on, was very punctual to always call in if she was a minute late.
Maybe that's why she was having these parties and saying, oh, I'm going to bed. It's because the ankle tag is beeping.
Yes, it could be. But she has had consequences of going off to jail. One is she's not allowed to come to Britain. That's one of the consequences.
Okay.
The second one is that as a result of it, she was unable to participate in the Windsor Pumpkin Regatta in Windsor, Nova Scotia.
Okay, but did she want to?
She did. She was going.
They have really strict criteria for entry. Anyone who's been involved in insider trading is just not allowed in those
pumpkins.
If
you've been struck by lightning twice, you're fine.
3 strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
She announced that her intention to be part of the regatta. She was flying over there, and then there was problems with her passport and being able to get there. Eventually, she was allowed to make it, but it wasn't in time to be part of the regatta. See. Yeah.
Because there's a saying, 3 strikes and you're out.
No, yeah, Andy, we got it.
Cool. Yeah.
She was charged 4 times, wasn't she? 3 times by the lightning and then once by the police.
Oh, well, what a Martha Stewart roast this episode has turned into. I'm staggered.
I actually quite like her, but yeah.
But you had to get us all the way to that regatta story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't leave that on the tape. Once you find it, you're like, I will drag these two across hell and high water.
Yeah. What am I going to do?
It's funny, like, because Andy, when you did your 3 strikes and you're out joke,
yeah,
I was already in the frame of mind of Dan has a bit that he's trying to get to here, so I'm just going to let him get to it.
I see.
You should have seen.
We're
should have
crawling
known
towards the finish line.
Absolutely,
I'm
should have
juggling
spotted
over here. Yeah, I hear you.
Jan Goodens says to stop patients from bleeding to death after heart surgery, doctors inject them with salmon sperm.
Oof.
Ooh.
Hmm.
It's a drug. It's called protamine, and it's the specific antidote to reverse heparin, which is a blood thinner.
Right.
And yeah, they make it from milt, which is salmon and trout sperm, because it's a protein.
If you're in the wild,
Can you get
can a dog to sort of just be masturbating a salmon over you as you lay dying?
Is that in your notes, James?
I'm just trying to work out if it would work. I think you have to isolate the protein.
Okay.
But you can do that inside. Your body will sort that out.
It's not going to hurt.
It won't make things worse.
It will for the salmon. Imagine the story that salmon has when he gets back to his flock.
Wait till the guys upriver just past that bear hear about this. Okay, that's enough of your facts. Now it's time for you to receive our facts. If you join our wonderful members club, Club Fish, you will not only get ad-free episodes and lots of bonus material, but at the highest tier, friend of the podcast, we will give you a shout out on the show and custodianship of your very own headline fact from Fish. Let's do a few of those now. Let's have one of our ceremonies. Let's have one of our ceremonies. James, give us a fact.
Just going to take the tiny curtain off this fact because now it belongs to Jennifer Stancati. And Jennifer, your fact is that until 835 AD, Halloween was on the 12th of May.
Ooh, a spooky date.
It's a weird one that I don't really remember the fact, I must admit. But one thing about Halloween is like the nights are getting much shorter, so it does have a kind of spooky feel.
Oh yeah,
to it.
It's a spooky time of year. The leaves are dropping.
May is not spooky.
May is not spooky.
It's lovely.
Yeah, you're right. This feels like probably Julius Caesar was to blame.
Oh yeah,
I just have a hunch. You know,
he was well dead by 835 AD.
Yes, you're right. But he was inventing new months and mucking around, so I think he might have started this whole process.
Do you remember what it was? It was your fact, Andy.
Was it? It was a Roman thing.
Oh, okay.
And this was it was the All Hallowtide Festival, and it was in May. And then
church.
It actually wasn't a spooky thing.
Yeah, so that's All it. Hallows Day is it's basically All Saints Day. So
exactly.
It's a special day where you
commemorate the saints.
Where you commemorate the saints. So Halloween would be the evening before that, but not necessarily pumpkin races. And
it was not a spooky thing. It was not. No one had invented the idea of dressing as a sexy cat on All Hallows Eve. It just wasn't a thing. And then there was a theory that it was moved to autumn because in May everyone went to Rome and then got malaria. Which is spooky.
It can be, yeah.
It's scary.
I'm going dressed as a sexy mosquito this year.
Lovely. Great fact.
Cool.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, this one is going out to Jeff Spencer. Jeff, your fact is medieval witches used broomsticks to put hallucinogenic drugs up their bums.
Gosh.
Yeah, so this was my fact. I got this from a Wade Davis book. Wade Davis is a anthropologist, and he wrote a lot about this subject. And
I think it's controversial, would
absolutely
you say?
Yeah.
And is it all in with that kind of witches were actually people taking mushrooms and stuff?
That's what this is. Absolutely. And I think we talked about this in the show, that this is a sort of controversial interpretation. But it is a big theory of what happened.
But you're not really flying.
You're not really flying.
You just think you're flying because you've put the broomstick up your bum?
Yeah, so you need an applicator for the hallucinogenic. The hallucinogenic is used on the end of a broom. The broom goes up because the best way of getting the best of a drug
is the room on a broom for a sexy cat like me.
Oh dear. That's a joke that pre-parenthood you wouldn't have known to make.
No.
So the broom wasn't for flying on. The drugs were hallucinogenic flights of the mind. Yep. Is the idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's another fact. This one is now forever and a day in the ownership of Ula Wu, and it's that the Rosetta probe analyzing a comet's smell has discovered it smells like rotten eggs, cat urine, and bitter almonds.
So when we say almonds...
Now, I do of course mean bitter peaches.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good, just a good space smell there.
Yeah. Okay, here's one more. This one is now under the custodianship of Elaine Tienan. Elaine, your fact is that Serana Fiennes, the oldest Briton to climb Everest, fears heights so much that he asks his wife to clear the gutters for him.
What a convenient lie.
He's also afraid of filling the dishwasher.
Taking out the bins.
In the basket, not near the basket, in the basket. Yeah, he's a crazy, crazy guy, isn't he, Ranulph Fiennes?
Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Is that was that's Lord Byron?
Yeah, but that was what that was his first wife. I believe this is when she introduced Ranulph to her dad. That is how he was described. Oh, right. So it's the name of his autobiography. I don't want you ending up with
mad, bad, and always leaves the remote control in a place where you don't expect it to be.
Okay, this is a fact that is going to Michelle Hagen. That is, a Ryanair crew member recruited today could not possibly be the same height as one from the first cabin crew.
Yes. Very good. Do you remember this?
I do. This was Anna's fact. And yeah. I remember the fact that you had to be a certain height for the original flights. I think it was quite a smaller height.
5'2".
5'2", yeah.
And now if you were that height, you wouldn't be able to reach the lockers.
Yes.
I thought you had to be under 5'2".
You'd need Ranulph Fiennes' wife to come in and
put it in for you.
You had to be under 5'2 for the first flights, I thought.
Yeah,
and you know you have to, and you have to be over 5'2 now. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Here's another one that goes out to Alexander Schwank, and it's that Steven Seagal is the only private citizen to dismantle a nuclear bomb. And when we say dismantle, I think he paid for the... Should we explain to younger listeners what a Steven Seagal is?
I think we should, yeah.
Action...
Like he was a mega action hero.
Cut price Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, but he probably... I think his movies did bring in box office, like Under Siege and so on. Like, there were big blockbusters, and then he became a sort of direct-to-VHS kind of actor.
And then he became a stooge of Vladimir Putin.
Yes. And I think he's also a reincarnation of a llama. He's a...
Buddhist llama.
No one spits in your face.
Well, Putin won't like that. Well, why is he getting a nuclear weapon dismantled then?
So this was listed on his website, and then when you looked into it, it was that he funded for one to be dismantled. Yeah.
But I think he is, like, he's friends with Putin.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Does he live in Russia now? He moved to Moscow.
I think he lives in Russia, yeah.
Does he? Yeah.
Like Gérard Depardieu.
Well, Gérard Depardieu did it for tax reasons, I think, mostly.
Did he?
Because it's flat rate tax in Russia. Not that I've ever looked into it.
There's a certain kind of actor who, when their career's a bit on the skids, they think, I'll just go to Russia. That's the future. It's very, like, I think Depardieu and Seagal are in a slightly birds of a feather there.
Are they?
I think.
Okay.
It's a bit odd, probably.
Which current day actor do you think is next on the line?
Ooh, what a great... I can't think of any more actors.
Okay. Who won't sue us?
That's right.
Okay. Here is one more from me today. This is a fact that is now under the custodianship of Aaron I. Officer. Hmm. Your fact is that Viking names included Desirous of Beer, Squat Wiggle, Lust Hostage, Short Penis, Able to Fill a Bay with Fish by Magic, The Man Who Mixes His Drinks, and The Man Without Trousers.
Wow.
Bit of a long one.
Well, not if you're short penis.
This might have been a live show. Was it for the book festival?
It was. We did it in the...
The comedy book festival.
Somewhere in Camden.
It was in Camden. Right. The Irish Centre in Camden. That's right.
Yes. And we should say, if you join... as a friend of the podcast, you get a certificate with your fact on it. And I just want to say, we're really stretching the bounds of what the certificate can hold with your fact, Aaron. So I hope it's hope it's fit on there, or we've used the right font.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I mean, guys, let's pick our Vikings. Who do you want to be?
I love The Man Without Trousers.
Oh, yeah.
I will go for Able to Fill a Bay with Fish by Magic. I feel like that's me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm definitely Squat Wiggle.
No, and one I think
big short penis, I see.
Should we have one more?
Okay. Maddie Chandler, this is for you. You Only Live Once is the fourth autobiography by Katie Price.
Wow. Brilliant. Has she done any since, do you think?
I think she has.
Has she?
Yeah, I think she has.
Because when would we have done this? Episode 35. So that would have been...
Still 2014,
I think.
Yeah. So... We were doing the book festival, and this was a fact taken directly from one of the QI fact books. I think that was what we did.
Oh, was that what we were pushing?
We were all taking one fact from that. And of that book, which had something like 1,200 facts, this was the one fact of mine that made it into that book.
Well done, dudes.
Are you still living off those royalties? One 1,339th of the royalties goes to you.
Okay, that's it. Those are our facts going out to you. So congratulations to all 8 friends of the podcast we've just covered. That's Maddie, Aaron, Alexander, Michelle, Elaine, Ula, Jeff, and Jennifer. If you would like to get your own fact or just to join Club Fish and get ad-free episodes and bonus stuff and so much more, it's so much fun on there. You can do that by going to patreon.com/nosuchthingasafish. That's it for this little fish. We'll be back in a few days with another big fish. But until then, it's bye from these guys.
See you guys.
Bye, guy.
And it's goodbye from me. Bye.